Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to the Caffeination number 318. This is the greener edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully you are having a fantastic weekend. Hopefully everything is settling into the groove that will be the week ahead of you. This is a kind of an interesting week, a little special week we have coming up here. On Tuesday, we have St. Patrick's Day, which we have traditionally done a podcast for or something fun for. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get to tonight, on that particular night. Lots of things are coming up around this weekend. I got a lot of writing and everything to do, but I want to make sure that you're taken care of. So this is going to be the green edition, or the greener edition, here at the Caffeination Podcast. And in honor, I guess you could say, in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, we've actually switched the background over at the homepage at www.caffeination.com over to a little green tint of a lovely little floral pattern there. So hopefully you will enjoy that as you're reading the different articles and content this week ahead. We're going to change it back on Wednesday for the next show. Not really sure what we're going to be doing, but we're constantly in a state of flux. So it's going to be interesting to see where we head. But it's not just greener, because there's a lot of different things that are out there right now. We also have ecologically minded trends, you know, kind of throwing their weight around on the internet these days. And then, the king of all green, we have the cash is king kind of thing flipping up. And now every once in a while you see somebody just, you know, throw an absolutely ridiculously expensive toy out there. And we have a couple of those on today's show. On today's show, you are going to be hearing about any and all the following topics: St. Patrick's, green beer, Irish coffee, ecology, recipes, Mario, steampunk, Roomba, lemmings, Nintendo, remix culture. I said the remix culture, coffee, and alarms. You have to say remix culture twice. I mean, it's just one of those things. But there's a whole heap of information that we have to get out for you today. So I want to make sure that we do a good job on everything. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including ourselves, has agreed to create child safe, family friendly, and educational content. They're all listed over at techpodcasts.com. So, this has been a rather interesting little flux of a past couple of days. I don't know what happened, but all the energy that I've been having for the past couple of weeks, from writing all the articles and everything, it kind of came to a head, and I only got one article out in the back half of last week. I think it's because I'm trying to, you know, ramp up and get everything done for when the kids come back from spring break. But it's not even like, you know, the things that happen in work stay in work. That's how I shift them around. But it's just when you have so many things happening at once, it kind of saps your energy from the rest of the day. So I'm trying to make the divide a little bit starker, make it stick a little bit more. But in the spirit of kind of freeing myself from everything that's been weighing down, I'm just kind of throwing caution to the wind, doing a fun show here. So hopefully you'll enjoy what we got going for you. Before we get too much further, I did want to tell you a little bit about the sponsor for today's podcast. The sponsor for today's show is actually GoToMeeting. Spend too much time driving or flying to meet your clients in person? Then you need to stop letting travel costs eat away at your bottom line. You can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. Brought to you by Citrix, GoToMeeting lets you launch sales presentations, product demos, or training sessions all right from your computer. It's like meeting in person, but much less expensive and time-consuming. Meet from your office, your home, or your hotel room anywhere, anytime. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days with this special offer. You must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts to start your free trial today. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and fun things, like give you the interesting little content that we got coming down the pike today. So, it's kind of a... kind of a stretch in the brain here. I don't know what it is, but I've had like these crazy migraines, more so than usual. I think it might just be the fact that it's March and nobody, you know, the weather really can't decide whether it wants to be up, down, left, or right. I think last week we actually had 60 degree days and we had 20 degree days, and it's playing havoc with my sinuses and everybody else I know. So I'm asking you to bear with me. I think my voice has actually stayed constant throughout most of this, so it's kind of a different change for once. Usually when the weather goes up or down, I get sick or some other kind of crazy thing happens. And in kind of honor of St. Patrick's Day, we are going to be releasing a different recipe for the Irish coffee. It's the way that I usually make them when I actually end up making them. So hopefully you'll consider that when you're embarking on your festivities in the day. I'm going to be releasing it on Monday night because I haven't quite finished the article yet. Just want to make sure that it's actually right as rain. Everything's actually, you know, set up and correct in it. So stay tuned for that one. There's a lot of really cool stuff coming up this week. We're actually going to continue the blog design guide to content writing, how you can structure your articles so that people get the most out of them. At least that's how I do it. And there is something I just wanted to talk to you a second about before we get really into the rest of the show. It's I've been asked a lot of times, not just recently, but over the past couple months. I don't know why, and it's one of the reasons that I am doing the how to podcast and you know, the blog design guides and other things like that. It's what's the right way to fill in the blank. I've been asked, what's the right way to Twitter? Or do you think that I'm doing it right? What's the right way to do a podcast? Do you think I'm doing it right? What's the right way to have a website? Now, this is not in response to anyone in particular. It's just kind of a culmination of a lot of different people who are asking me things. And I just wanted to kind of put out there that you really don't need to worry about it as much as a lot of people do. And I am myself am one of the most self-conscious people you will probably ever meet. I hated the sound of my own voice for probably the first 100 episodes of the podcast. We're now at 318. So you do the math. Roughly a third of the time that the first third of this show's lifespan, I absolutely hated my voice. I was terrified that other people weren't going to listen and that nobody would ever respond. And you just get over it. So the thing that I just wanted to kind of push out there to you is that you really kind of need to be fearless in things. You really kind of need to push yourself forward and don't worry about what other people think. There is no right or wrong way to do social media. There's ways that other people don't enjoy, and there's ways that other people get irritated at. Yes, if you're going to do a morning show podcast, you know, if you know, like the standard morning zoo kind of radio show podcast, I'm probably not going to listen to you. Just putting it out there. I mean, it's just not something that I find interesting. However, there's a huge market for it. There's a lot of people out there who really do enjoy it. So I Twitter in and of itself is an interesting medium because there's two different things that can happen. You can produce or consume. You can use it as a content aggregator where you get all the most interesting little tidbits from the people in the world that you want to follow, and you get them all piped directly to your mobile or whatever else you want to do. And you don't ever have to add content to the stream. Nobody ever has to follow you back. Or you can use it as a broadcast medium, which a lot of people do, where it's just you're pushing your thoughts out, you're pushing your blogs out, and you know, it's there's several different types of people. I mean, the anthropologist in me wants to categorize absolutely everything, but there's several different types of people who use these things. There's the consumers, the people who just want to have the content pushed right to them. Then there's the people who love to produce. They don't care about what other people do. I mean, they're there too. Then there's the people who are really interested in the conversation. I love that about Twitter. That's one of the reasons that I really enjoy Twitter and reading different blogs and stuff like that. I love the community that they foster. So I'm more interested in actually interacting. So if you feel like just following me and seeing this strange, inane stuff, that's perfectly fine. If you feel like pushing your own strange and inane stuff out there, that's fine as well. The same thing goes for podcasts. I mean, for people who are considering starting a podcast, don't consider anymore. Just do it. Just have a microphone and do it. If you want to do it and have a high quality of audio, I can understand that. If you want to wait to get things together, okay, fine. Here's what you need to do. You don't have to worry about scripting. That's one of the things that I've actually had a couple people ask me in the last week. It's people actually at work and beyond, because I do a couple little podcasts for work that, you know, some of them are released internally, some of them not. And I do a lot of heavily scripted podcasts for work because I have to get very specific information down. And that's the only time I've ever done scripted podcasts, and I gotta tell you, I really don't like it. I mean, there's so much stuff I want to do, there's so many different things I want to say. I just kind of do make mental notes as I'm going throughout the podcast and try and you know, I have everything lined up in a Firefox browser that I'm going to be talking about over the next, you know, 35 odd minutes, and I'm just going to run right down the list, and whatever mnemonic device that I have set inside each one of the the stories. I might have a piece of text highlighted. Because the fun thing about Firefox is on tab A, let's just say I have the sentence, the only reason I share little thoughts is because there are a lot of other people out there with the same fear, and we can face it down together. It's one of the things for my article over at myname.com, which is paulrjmuller.com. It's an article focused on the right way to. But, you know, I highly suggest you head on over there and check that out, because I am, like I said, I'm not only one of the most self-conscious people in the world, but I'm really a pessimist at heart. Despite all the upbeat things that I say, I mean, if you ask most of the people that know me, I'm pretty pessimistic about things. So it's not that I don't want to push forward a positive vibe, but I think that other people kind of need to take the initiative and step out of their own little shell and really kind of just play with it. See if other people follow you. If they don't worry about it. Move on to something else. You just kind of have to keep hitting and missing until things happen. So I highly suggest you head on over there. And if you think I'm wrong, please feel free to fire an email back to caffeination@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on the blog or call into the listener line or any of the other things that are over at our homepage. But, you know, I love the conversation. So if you hate the green background, please feel free to put that in there, because you know what? The green background really doesn't fit in with the blue and the tan. I understand that. We've changed a couple things over at the way that the thing's designed. Some of them fly in the face of the blog design guides that I've been putting out there, because I'm trying to shift things up and trying to see if I can create new ways that people can consume the podcast. So I'm changing things all the time. Whether or not you notice it, we'll see. All right, we do have a lot of fun stuff coming up. Like I said, we have new recipes, caffeinated product reviews, and so much more. So please head on over to caffeination.com to check that stuff out throughout the week ahead. Or you could just subscribe to the RSS feed. That's even easier. All right, we're going to dive right on into the Geek Craft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. And up first is an unbelievable little craft. I don't know what else to say. Donald Kennedy was bored at work one day, so instead of doing all the other things, this is from over at spritestitch.com. So instead of doing everything else that all the other people who were bored at work do, he actually did something that I used to do all the time, except I ran out of wire. I have fidgets. I like to change things into different things, and this guy is so much better at it than I am. He created an office supply Mario Kart. So you take a two of the little clips for the front, the back, and some of them for the body, and then you take some wire and you spin it around, and you have a tiny little white wire, red wire, and blue wire Mario. The only thing that I can't figure out, all the different office supplies I see, you know, the wheels for the actual cart are coins, and there's paper clips, and there's all other kinds of things wound around, and it's really, really expertly done. The only thing that I can't figure out is Mario's shoes. I can't figure out what kind of office supply they are. They might even be like a G.I. Joe shoe or something. I'm not even sure. Because they kind of look like they have that little hole that used to be in the bottom of some of the old school G.I. Joe stuff. So I wouldn't fault them for it, but I just don't think it's necessarily an office supply. I'd highly suggest you head on over to spritestitch.com if you want to check that one out. All right, up next, a little bit of saucy language from the Register, but there's a really, really fun little guide that they have over there on how to actually determine what kind of laptop you're looking for, because there are so many buzzwords out there, and I got to just put a little thing out there. If you are in technical support, if you are a customer service representative, buzzword frustration right now is at an absolute all-time high, because you have people throwing terms out there like netbook, ultra slim, and all these other things, and people don't know what is what. So the Register has a fun little slightly profanity-laced guide on how you can do it. So it says, is the PC worth more than $500? Yes or no? If it's no, they ask you, is the screen smaller than 13 inches or 33 centimeters? If you say no, does it have an optical disc? If you say no, it says, does it weigh less than 4.4 pounds? If you say no, then it is totally a sub notebook. If you can follow the little interesting flow chart up there, you know, you could either have a plain old laptop, a handheld, totally a sub notebook. You've got an ultra portable. That's so ultra thin. You've got a PC formerly known as a netbook, or oh my god, that's a netbook. And if you're holding a wallet, you can just, you know, there's a whole bunch of other different things. I'm seriously considering pasting this up on the wall, because I've had so many different people come in and say, you know, I really want a laptop that's one of the funniest things I usually get. And it's not funny to the people who are asking the question, because it's a very real question they're asking me. But they ask me, you know, so I want a laptop. I don't want to spend a lot of money, but I need it to be really powerful and light. Okay, that laptop doesn't exist. So you're going to have to kind of prioritize what you'd like. Do you want it to be really powerful? Then it's going to be heavy. If you want it to be inexpensive, then it's probably going to be less than powerful. So you kind of have to realize the smaller the components, the more they're going to charge you for them. So Taking all that aside, if you're currently looking for one of those little buzzword-compliant laptop netbooks, ultra-slim, whatever, hoojimidingers, then you can head on over there to the register and actually run through the fun little Venn diagram. A little flow chart. I'm getting my diagrams mixed up. My cognitive theories all kinds of screwy today. So, all right, up next, a completely insane little thing. This is a pogo stick for the damaged. That's the only way I could put it, because it's like, for people who seriously have issues, they need this. It's called a fly bar. Now, I've seen it before. It's also called a pogo air, I guess, but you are capable of jumping over automobiles with these things. They're $380. You can launch yourself 7 feet tall, and you can perform all kinds of crazy stunts. So, of course, you have interesting little hipsters with the gloves with the fingers cut out and everything like that, who are performing all kinds of interesting and death-defying stunts on them, and they're probably going to get their own little section in the X Games eventually. But for everybody else, it's just an incredibly expensive toy. It's kind of like when I see people, you know, doing the motorcycle sports, you know, in the X Games when they have like the dirt bikes and they're doing flips like that on them. And they say, oh, you know, he's been doing this since he was 4. The only thing I can think of is, who gave a 4-year-old a motorcycle, like a dirt bike? Who has the money to just throw a dirt bike at a 4-year-old and say, hey, here, go try a flip? Because, I mean, that means I only have 2 years left to save up for a motorcycle for Paul, so I just don't think that's going to pass the wife muster, if you know what I mean, so... Yeah, that's off the subject. Now, the next little story we have up here is even more bizarre than the giant pogo stick. It's actually I just put a little comment up there, said, bring me the severed head of a Care Bear and make it my phone dock. That's what we're talking about here. This is relatively inexpensive at $13.27, but you can have a slightly disgruntled-looking Care Bear's head and have it as a dock for your phone. I don't know exactly what you would do with this. This one's from over at Engadget.com, but I just thought I'd put it out there in case you're really into Care Bears or you really dislike children talking to you. So just putting that out there again. All right, I've been sent this video a couple times this week, so I'm sorry if I don't remember everybody. I do remember the first one. First person who actually sent me this is Jack, a guy I work with. Unbelievable editing job on this video. So you just have to head on over there and check it out. I'm going to play a very, very tiny little segment from the video here, so hopefully you'll be able to pick it up. But the idea behind this is that somebody actually went around and cut together different clips of people playing instruments on YouTube. Now, need a little bit of setup here. Now, there are over, I would say, 20 or 30 clips in here of people playing different things, and some of them are flipped around. This is the idea about what remix culture is about. You know, any one of these people could say, well, you know, I'm part of that. I deserve whatever ad revenue or whatever else you have up there because of it. But if you take it and you take one step beyond that, it's like this person took what the other people put out there and made something completely and utterly different where you couldn't separate the value of any one of them. They're all different, like, component pieces, but it's really, really insane what they were able to do. Now, on the screen right now, there are 9 different clips from YouTube. Some of them have horn sections, some of them have guitars. Now, all of these are completely unrelated, and I hope that it actually comes through. It's kind of a jazz piece. Catchy, but like the harmonica and the voice that's about to come in are all the same guy. But everything else, like the drums, alright, the drums and everything else is all separate clips. It's unbelievable the amount of time. I can't even imagine the amount of time that went into this. But you have the drums separate, there's the keyboard separate, there's a guy on a bass guitar, at least 2 guys on a guitar, on other regular guitars, there's a guy on bongos that you can hear. I mean, it's just out of this world. I've never seen a tighter editing job on absolutely anything. So my hat's off to whoever did this, but it really blows your mind when you're sitting there looking at it. And I don't know how to describe it, but you can always see when somebody really, really is into something. And this person must just feel music flowing through them and see and be able to create music from everything around them. I mean, imagine, you know, walking down the street and thinking of how to do this. That's, it blows my mind. So I had to pass it along to you. Hopefully you have a little bit of time to actually check it out. I also have a link up there to Remix Culture, what Remix Culture is all about. It's a, it's an interview with Lawrence Lessig, who's one of the, he's the founder of, I think, Creative Commons, and yeah, it is Creative Commons, because Stallworth's the founder of the Copyleft. But when you get into copyright and you get into intellectual property laws, there's a whole huge slew of people who come out of the woodwork who try and push their opinion on you. And I'm just sending you to the granddaddy of Remix Culture, the man who basically coined the term and is one of the most staunch defenders of Creative Commons and everything else like that. So I just wanted to head you on over to that interview in case you have a couple minutes and you want to check it out, if that interests you. And then taking that and going completely silly from there, we have a lovely little image from over at Make. This is the Makezine, or blog.makezine.com, from Make Magazine, obviously. This is a cover for your Roomba. This is a horn toad cover. I don't know why you would do this other than to scare your pets absolutely silly, but they're calling this the iToad, and it's really kind of eerily real. It's obviously round and flat like a Roomba, but they actually made the head go above where the Roomba is, and then there's a tail, and there's all other kinds of creepy looking appendages attached to it. And I'd love to see like an entire different line of furry Roomba covers come out, so that you not just only have like toads, you could also have like mini little R2-D2 paint job stencils that are out there. I know there's a whole bunch of fun stuff, but it just, yeah, I need to start looking into it. Not that we have a Roomba or anything like that, but I'd love to scare some cats with that one. Alright, moving right along, NES controllers, Nintendo Entertainment System controllers, or the world's most awesome soap. How about one and the same? From over at 7gadgets.com, they talk to you a little bit about a product that's listed over at Etsy, so I have both of the links there. And as of the recording of this show, there is one of these soap bars left. They are bright blue Nintendo Entertainment controller, and they're really, really a lovely little rendition of it. So it's $8 for one. There's coconut oil, palm oil, castor oil, safflower oil. But this is probably the first time that I've ever actually seen a decorative soap and thought to myself, you know what? That's not a soap I would use. And I remember growing up, and everybody has somebody in their family who has all those strange decorative soaps in the bathroom. So it's like a bundle of fruit that you can't wash with because, hey, it's decoration. Or there's a bundle of other interesting things like seashells or other stuff like that. So its sole existence is to provide visual aesthetic treatment to the room. So I'm pretty sure that the caffeination layer would probably do well with some Nintendo visual aesthetic accoutrements. So I think this, for $8, it might be an interesting little addition down here. But this is one of those things where you're looking at it and going, man, somebody really not only took a lot of time to actually, mold this and do it right, but they actually have little labels for all the stuff is, like the A button, the B button, and everything else like that. So, my hat's off to the people who made that. All right, moving right along here. One day software will defend the net. Now, everybody who's reading this article has made the connection to, Skynet became active at, and the line from the first Terminator movie. And the idea behind this is that there will be one day there will actually be a army of what Fox News is actually calling cyberbots. I think that's overly generalizing of a term, but imagine a squadron of software programs that just kind of hung out on the internet, and whenever they detect an attack, that they actually kind of proactively went after the source of the attack. So instead of just having viruses going one way on the network, you had viruses going the other way. And I like this idea in theory, but at the same point in time, it means you're going to have some kind of back door into network appliances and other things that these cyberbot, quote-unquote, are going to be able to travel through. And the more I think about that, I would much rather have a completely secure box, because as soon as you make a hole, the cyberbot or whatever else can get in there, you run into the idea that, you know, maybe a little rogue program could get in there, could pretend to be a cyberbot, a little Trojan cyberbot could get into the middle of Troy and make all kinds of havoc for people. So I'm much more of a proponent of secure software as opposed to software that kind of comes around the back end and does good things. You know, there's a whole family of software programs out there that kind of you know, emulate what viruses do, but are kind of for the greater good, shall we say. But I've always had kind of a little love-hate relationship with them. But the Cyberbot thing's interesting, and it kind of reminds me a little bit about the Neuromancer, you know, the seminal work from William Gibson, who's one of my favorite authors. And just have a little link to the Wikipedia article up over there in case you've never heard of Neuromancer, which it's quite possible you didn't. But William Gibson actually coined the term cyberspace. So these programs would technically and effectively live in cyberspace until they did the, you know, their job. So it's kind of crazy to see where we're going. Now, to take from cyberspace and from the future, we're going to go way back, nostalgia time. Lemmings. I absolutely loved the Lemmings games when I was younger. I still do. I actually think I have maybe, I think it might be Christmas Lemmings or something like that, that was running on a 486. So, I mean, it's an old program. But imagine my surprise when I found crocheted versions of the little guys actually maneuvering their way around the fun little blog over at SpriteStitch.com. This is Amigurumi Lemmings. I don't know what that exactly means, or it could be the person's handle or anything else like that. But these are interesting little crocheted versions of the Lemmings that are making all kinds of different pieces of equipment. They have the one with the umbrella, they have the one with the pickaxe, they have the one that's, you know, building its own stairs, and there's actually a place where you can go to get the pattern, so in case you are good enough to actually crochet something this cool, you can find out how to do that over there. So, just passing that along. Alright, moving right along, second to last little thing in the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast, the iPod. This is a steampunk version of an iPod, or it's a steampunk overlay on an iPod from over at slipperybrick.com. This has been done right. I don't know how else to say it. When I get really tired of people saying, oh, look, this is a steampunk iPod, and all they did was they painted it with like a wood overtone, or they got like a wood case for it and put a little brass trim. This takes the concept of an iPod, takes a real original first generation iPod Nano, and instead of the scroll wheel, actually has like a half of a glass eye. They antiqued the entire finish of it. They added like bolts and different things to it. Where the screen was, there's like a magnifying bubble stuck to it. There's all other kinds of strange accoutrements that are attached to it. Second time I used that word today. That's weird. But not only that, but it goes one beyond that. They actually made a wrist strap for it, and not like the standard wrist strap, but this one's made out of leather. It very much follows the whole steampunk aesthetic. And then not only that, but they actually made a dock for it, and the dock has a real kind of like a gramophone bell. It's made out of brass that it actually plays. This thing works. It hooks up to your computer via USB. So it really does walk in both worlds. Not only is it a perfect example of using the steampunk aesthetic and not, you know, just having some little bit somewhere. The USB cord's actually hidden on it, which is how it should be. I really kind of want to pass this along to everybody I see doing stupid little, attempts at doing steampunk. And I'm not going to just... I don't mean to say that their efforts are worthless, but I really think this is the kind of attention to detail that you really need for notoriety that I hope this person gets. But this is a little bit, they're saying it's inspired by Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and it's just unbelievable. The person who did this is named Dr. Grimm, so lovely little name for that, and just wanted to pass it along, because it's the first steampunk anything that I've seen in quite a while, other than like the typewriter computer, that's actually kind of really captured the whole design aesthetic and stayed true to it throughout the entirety. Alright, moving right along to the last little thing we have for you here. This is the best customer service sign that I've ever seen. It's from over at a comic that was posted at Control-Alt-Delete this week. The main character, Ethan, actually bought a without going over too much. He actually bought a game store. So he just had it renovated recently, and it was perfect. Everything was all set up until he finally said, you know what? It only needs one more thing, basically. So he put a little plaque up on the wall and said, okay, now we're ready for business. On the plaque reads, the customer is not always right. Most of the time, the customer is a clueless moron. If this sign upsets you, then you are this moron. I love this sign. I would never post it in work, but it really kind of speaks to the problems of customer service at times. And at the same point, also kind of shows you that people in the service industry have become a little bit jaded, in the response to what the users want. There's more often than not, the users have good-natured problems. They're more than willing to accept any delays or anything that you give them. And it's just a couple bad eggs that really ruin it for everybody. So you need the sign to kind of go to the least common denominator on everything. So just putting that out there. And then we are going to head right on into the consumable and caffeinated bits here. Just in case you happen to be listening at the stream over the Tech Podcast Network or anywhere else on the internet, you can find this episode and all the other episodic little friends that it has collected over the past three plus years over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. And you can also email me at caffeination@gmail.com for any comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail you feel like firing off in my general direction. All right, last little section we have here, and then we're going to head you out on your way. Up first is an interesting little article from over at EnergyFiend.com. It says, is your energy drink turning you into a woman? Well, if you are a woman, it's probably not doing that, but let's just say, for the sake of argument, in the most scholarly sense possible, if you're going to read the thing here, it's a fun little article, but the idea behind it is that there is currently a chemical substance which exists in a significant amount of energy drinks called bisphenol A, which I'm not really sure exactly what it does, but this chemical, in some kind of configuration or other, actually mimics the estrogen hormone. Now, I've actually seen stories like this, but related to ginseng before, where it can actually start to develop breasts in men, and it can, it just can actually reduce the amount of hair follicle growth and strange things like that. So you can take the story for whatever you'd like from over there, but it's really talking about a serious thing. So if you are like down in 5 or 6 or 10 of these energy drinks a day, always a bad thing, you might want to just kind of consider it and, you know, take stock of your own body to see if there's anything happening that probably shouldn't be. I always laugh when I see these kind of things out there, because usually you're not going to see the effects. You know, they'll say, oh, well, you know, in lab mice, we noticed these things happening. Of course, they're not going to tell you they gave the lab mice the equivalent of like 4,000 times the dose that you would ever get of this chemical. Now, it's not to say that the chemical isn't inherently dangerous or isn't inherently safe, but it says that when you give somebody, a straight shot injection of something, it might end up doing some things that you probably don't want. But that kind of goes for most things out there. I'm pretty sure if you gave a lab rat an injection of like, 7,000 milligrams of sodium, it would probably have a hard time digesting that as well. So it doesn't mean a little salt on top of your food isn't a bad thing all the time, but moderation as in everything else. Up to a little bit of coffee trickery from over at wordsaboutthings.co.uk. Love the title of this thing. It says, why coffee and tea taste better the way that you make it. Now, they're saying that according to different psychologists, that it's a little bit of a trick that your mind plays on you, that you're more comfortable with the way that the drug is presented. They're saying that this is a way that the caffeine drug is introduced to your body, but they're not really saying how addictive behaviors actually kind of lend themselves to more towards familiarity. Because if you're drinking decaf coffee every day, there's no introduction to caffeine as a drug that you're not getting a reward. It's not necessarily a ritualistic practice that you get a treat at the end of the rainbow for. It's more along the lines of, you are just more comfortable doing that. So I'm not really sure how you're going to separate more comfort and why it's better. I hate terms like better when you're talking about scholarly articles and things like that, because it's a non-categorizable term. You can't measure things by better. It's like, is this better than that? Well, what criteria are you using to measure here? Are you saying somebody's more comfortable with it? Are you saying somebody would enjoy it out of their favorite mug more? And again, enjoy. It's like, it's coffee. If you have the exact same cup of coffee out of two different cup mugs, are you going to enjoy it more? You might enjoy the experience a little bit more, but that might not necessarily be directly related to the Drug Association. So just wanted to kind of pass it out there for your general consideration. Up next, the massive super grill, but it will not compensate for you being able to cook on a real grill or a regular size grill, but this is called the Imperial Grill XL from over at Gizmodo and Born Rich. This sucker costs $1,800. It has two ovens on it. It has what appear to be eight different burners. There's two different side burners. There's all other kinds of stuff attached to it. I would love to have this thing in the backyard, and I gotta tell you, I think our neighbors actually were out grilling today. But $1,800 is too big of a nut to crack for anybody I know for a grill. So everybody's gonna be stuck with either the charcoal for the purists or the gas grill for those of us who can't afford to go out and get charcoal every time we'd like to grill. So, yeah, it's six of one, half a dozen of another. I love grilling. I have wood chips and everything that I throw into the grill, and I would think that I'm a pretty good cook, but I gotta tell you, I don't really think an $1,800 grill would make me cook any better. It would make me want to clean it a little bit more often, but that's just more to protect my investment than anything else. Alright, up next, the best alarm clock concept that I have ever seen. This one's from over at Yanko Design, where they talk about an interesting little concept alarm clock where you actually have to load toast into the bottom. It has the capability of dispensing a fresh cup of OJ or whatever other juice or tea or coffee out of the other spigot, and toasting the bread for you as soon as you wake up. Basically, it fires off the alarm, says that, hey, you know what, here's your fresh cup of OJ, here's your fresh cup of coffee or tea, and you fill everything up the night before, and you're set to go. I love this idea. I think this is great. But I think I would use it slightly differently. I would probably, you know, get up with my normal alarm clock and everything, and I would have this thing waiting for me in work so that it would be ready for me by the time that I got there. So I would get in, I'd pick up my coffee, pick up the juice, and be ready to start the day. I just think it's a really interesting concept that I wanted to pass along. All right, now the next little thing that we have here is just a little comment. Everybody always relates, or I've seen a lot of people relate green beer to St. Paddy's Day. I don't really understand this because there's no beer that I've seen that's naturally green. Everything's just food coloring in beer. And while I like the idea of it, and I'm probably going to enjoy a green beer on St. Paddy's Day, I just really think, is that the best that people can do? I mean, I understand the Irish coffee cocktail, but that's more along the lines of a strong drink. So I'm just wondering if anybody else out there had interesting little stories of things that they always had on St. Paddy's Day and stuff like that. All right, now, I gotta tell you, there's an interesting little story associated with Irish coffee, and it starts at least stateside over at the Buena Vista in San Francisco. Now, the gentlemen who actually created it are it's still serving Irish coffees today. Now, the way that it's served at the Buena Vista is a hot black cup of coffee mixed in with alcohol and or Irish whiskey and sugar. And then you have whipped cream that goes on the top. I do not like whipped cream in coffee. I'm just going to put that out there. I like frothed cream. Heavy whipping cream is just too kind of like sickly thick for me. It's not the way that I would enjoy it. The funny thing is, if you actually read the story that's over at Wikipedia, it's not this over in Ireland. Apparently, the original place where it was actually done, which was several years before, in the middle of the 40s, over at Foynes in County Limerick, which was the precursor to the Shannon International Airport, there was a place that was serving Irish coffees that had the alcohol, the coffee, and the sugar mixed together in the bottom, and then they poured a bit of cream over an upside-down spoon in the top of it. Now, this is more along the lines of what I would be able to actually create. Now, that's something that I would actually enjoy. And more often than not, when I see people serve Irish coffees in different restaurants and stuff like that, it's all mixed together. It's like a latte. And it's just kind of disgusting that way. It's not the way I would like to enjoy it. So you're actually supposed to sip the black coffee through the cream to actually create an interesting little concoction there. So I'm going to be putting the way that I do Irish coffee out tomorrow, so hopefully you're going to enjoy that. And there's also a little interesting link to Mr. Food, who's a local person here in Philadelphia, but apparently some of his videos have gained wider acceptance. Mr. Food actually puts out fun videos for Channel 6 ABC, the affiliate network for ABC here in Philadelphia. So he has has an interesting little thing on the way that Irish coffee is made in the States. And it's again with the whipped cream, but it gives you a little bit of a visual reference for everything. He talk in his directions talk about making Irish coffee for several more people. I'm much more of the single serving person, so you can follow his recipe if you're going to have a bunch of friends over. But all right, that about wraps it up here today for the Cafe Nation podcast number 318. This and all the other friends are lovingly located over at www.caffination.com, lovingly nestled over there. I'd just like to thank everybody who's listened to this podcast and any of the other ones that you decide to listen to today. So thank you so much for spending your time with us. Hopefully you're going to have a happy St. Paddy's Day and enjoy some of the articles and everything else that are going to be coming out that day. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.